Blog Talk Radio.
Day well, Bible 101. Thank you for joining me. That was a little bit of that was Angie Stone and D'Angelo from back in the day. Name of the song is called Pray, and I really like that song because it's just a reminder of what we ought to do. You know, as the lyrics say, don't be too cool to pray. Don't be so blind not to pray. Just pray. You know, our adversary really wants to destroy the lines of communication between us and our Heavenly Father through Mashiach Yahushua. He wants to destroy it by setting out all these false religions, these fake doctrines, and really using the mind and the vanity of man to cause a lot of confusion. cause a whole bunch of confusion. So tonight we're going to start a little series. It's about communication. And we're going to be talking about prayer tonight. So let's get started. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 36, it reads, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Yahushua said unto him, "Thou shalt love Yahweh, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, Yahushua says that the first commandment is to Yahweh, your mighty one, and to love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. But the second was just like unto it. In these two things, you can rest the whole law and the whole prophets on these two particular points. So we're talking about communication. How are you going to love somebody if you don't communicate with them? The whole point of communication is to express thoughts, feelings, etc. in a manner that someone else can understand it, whoever you're communicating with. So how are you going to express your love for Yahweh, your mighty one, if you never communicate that with it, to him? Would you expect your spouse, and this is getting into another one, what we're going to deal with tomorrow. Would you expect your spouse, would you think your spouse loved you if they never said it? Or if they stopped saying it? Or if your interpretation of love from your spouse is a hug or a kiss, and all of a sudden they stop doing it, would you think they loved you? So communication is very, very important. One issue that we have as people, and especially the black community, me being a black man myself, is that we do not have a mastery over language. I have a very strong opinion about that. You know, our mastery over this language, this English language or American language, is not there. So we lack the ability to express ourselves in a manner that is, one, acceptable a lot of times, because a lot of times when we cannot express ourselves, it leads to frustration. And frustration leads to acts that are insufferable, so to speak. You know, acts that we would not do on a normal basis, under normal circumstances. But when frustration sets in, we act in an unsightly manner, which we shouldn't. Second point is that a lot of times we have miscommunication. We might say something, but because we miscommunicate, is taken the wrong way. You know, the signals get crossed, so to speak. And that leads to problems, you know. But these are things that we're supposed to be working on as far as communicating with our Heavenly Father. He doesn't want miscommunication. He doesn't want us acting in an unseemly manner. You know, the book of James, chapter 4, starting at verse 2, it reads, "Ye lust and have not," meaning we desire things, but we don't get it. "Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." So we're willing to do things unsightly because of our desires, but we still can't obtain it. "Ye fight in war, yet ye have not." So do you see the progression? First there's a desire. Then, let me finish what he says first. He says, "Ye fight and ye war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Now, let's go back to what I was saying. There's a progression. You lust. So you have a desire for something that you don't have. Now, instead of what he says at the bottom, asking for it, ye kill and desire to have. That means you're not willing to ask for something, you're willing to take it. Why? The word says that the heart is deceitful, and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? So there is deceit within us. We're willing to do the wrong thing to obtain. But because we didn't ask, and because we don't communicate, we lose out. Now think about these things as far as our Heavenly Father goes. And we're not done. We're going to read verse 3. What if we brought our desires to Him? You know, what if we prayed? You know, because I really love this song. Every time I hear it, it almost brings me to tears, because I know personally, you know, I communicate with the Father every day. But when it's really storming and raging, that's when I really break down and pray, you know. I communicate with the Father, and I tell Him how I express myself to the Father. I really do. In a way that it's like He's standing right next to me. You know, I tell Him my fears. When I'm angry, I express anger to my Heavenly Father. I don't hold anything back. But when it's raging and it's storming, you have to humble yourself. And we'll see. We'll see other times. See, because there's different types of prayers, and there's different times for the different types of prayers. The word said, go boldly before the throne. So you always go boldly. But there's a difference between going boldly and humbly versus going boldly and arrogantly. But let's go back to this. It says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. And if you look up the word amiss in your Greek section, number 2560, this word is kakous. Kakous. And it means badly, physically or morally. In other words, you're asking with the wrong intent. And we're going to see that from the rest of the verse. It says, ye ask not, ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, or with the wrong intent, that ye may consume it upon your own flesh. In other words, your own lust, excuse me. In other words, you're being selfish. Sometimes we ask for things with a selfish motivation. And another one of our lessons, we spoke about intent. Yahweh understands intent. Matter of fact, if you look up this other word, number 2560, that was the word amiss. It's another word there in your Greek section. Number 2556, this word is kakos. And it means worthless. And intrinsically such, that is deprived or injurious. All right? In other words, you're asking for something to injure somebody. You're asking for a depraved reason. You're asking for a worthless reason. Your intent is not right. So we go forth to the Most High with our prayers and our supplications. And we wonder why we're not receiving. Is it because we're asking for the wrong reason, so that we may consume it upon our lusts? Why is it that we're not receiving, or we feel as though we're not receiving the things of the Most High? Why is that? You know? So, with that in mind, it says we asking amiss, or with the wrong intent. So, with that in mind, we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, we're going to start off at verse 5, okay? Now, this is the Messiah talking, and he's going to give us some guidelines as far as prayer goes. Some basic do's and don'ts of prayer, of how to communicate with the Father. See, because one thing we do know, when he said, he spoke these words, he said, when he raised Lazarus, Father, I know that you hear me always, but for their sakes I'm doing this. There was no bad intent with Mashiach. There was no doubt with Mashiach. There was no asking amiss. There was no selfish motivations. He did things right. And he left us, the word said, he's our example. So let's look at some of the examples that he's left us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it reads, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So that's rule number one. Prayer is not for show. You know, one of the things that the Most High put on my mind, you know, at Bet Yahweh, a lot of people don't understand the purpose of quote-unquote church. Church is not showtime at the Apollo. Church is not for entertaining. Church is not for, it's not an award show, anything like that. It's a learning institution. It's just like school. And that's what you get because you're there to study the word. You're there to learn about the Most High. So it's just like school. It's a learning institution. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a laugh or two, this, that, and another, because men are men. We enjoy each other. We enjoy the times that we have with one another. We enjoy the times that we have with the Most High. You know, that relationship, He's our Father. You know, and it's truly a father-child relationship. A father's primary task is to teach his children. But who says that they can't have a little fun together? You know? But if the primary task is for you to get up there and put on a show and grandstand and home and a ha and hit and get a cheer from the crowd, you're out of order. You can't communicate with the Most High in that manner. He does not accept that. He doesn't accept grandstanding. He doesn't accept you putting on a show for people. He's not listening to that. What did he say here? He said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues." What do you see on TV? They love to pray. They love it. 20,000 people you praying in front of them, putting on a show. Got a stadium packed to hear you pray. And in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Just got to be seen. So you got 20,000 people inside of your church and millions of people watching you on TV. And you just love to be seen by men. You love it. You do it every week. Sometimes 2-3 times a week. Let me say that again. 2-3 times a week. What do you say? "Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Do you hear what he said? So you wonder why that prayer ain't getting answered. You got your reward. You want a grandstand? You want an applause? There you go. You got your reward. Verse 6. Matthew 6:6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret." Don't put on a show. Your prayer is between you and your Father. Now, what if you have a congregational prayer? Should we not have congregational prayers? Should we not come together and pray together? Yes, we should. Because when the congregation is together and knit together, and we shut our door, that's us in the closet. Our minds are one. We are in what the word, the Hebrew word, echad, unified, unity, where many become one, just like your body. Many parts, one body. Right? He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So that prayer that's going up in secret, people are going to see the results of that prayer. You're going to be rewarded openly. And not with a reply, not with applause and this, that, and another, because that's their reward. Your reward is what you ask from the Father. He's going to give it to you. He's going to make it happen. Might not even be the way that you think it's going to happen, but he's going to make something happen openly. All right? Verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. So, we understand where this practice comes from. That's a heathen practice. Using vain repetitions. For they think, continuing, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Mm-mm. They think that. You don't have to have a 5-page paragraph prayer for the Most High. How true is that? If you have this long prayer, oh Father, the Messiah said this. He healed the man. Right? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. And people had an issue with it. They said, who are you that you can forgive sins? He said, whoa, wait a minute. Which is it easier to say? That your sins are forgiven? Or be healed wholly? I'm paraphrasing now. Matter of fact, hold up. Let's find that. Bear with me for 1 second. This is in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. And we're going to start at verse 1. And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Yahushua, seeing their faith, said unto the sick man, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now you hear what they just said. He saw their faith. Right? Now these are the men that brought him over. Right? Thy sins be forgiven thee. verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Yahusha, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Which one is easier to do? This is what he's saying. He didn't make no long dissertation about, oh, thou son, thou legs are palsied, and father, and all this stuff. And he didn't do all that. He said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And that was the easiest thing for him to say. Again, verse 5. For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Verse 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. So he spread it out for him. And he arose and departed to his house. That's what happened. So you don't have to say the long, drawn-out things. You don't have to use big words to try to impress people, or vain repetitions, saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. You don't have to do all those things when you're praying to the Most High. He don't like that. He doesn't like a multitude of words. Father, heal me, please. And we're going to expound on that a little bit later. Remember what I just said. Father, heal me, please. Okay? But he says, we're going back to Matthew chapter 6, it was in verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. In another spot it says, he knows our thoughts afar off. He knows the things that we need before we ask him. He's just waiting on for us to ask him. So you don't have to go, oh, Father, 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 give me a car, Father, 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 I need a car. For 55 minutes. And give him every reason that you need a car. Oh, Father, I'm sick of taking the bus. Oh, Father, it'll help me get another job. Oh, Father, bust me with the car. No. He knows the things that you need afar off. And he also understands the intent that you're asking for. All right? In the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1, it reads, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we're always to pray and not to faint. So are we always to offer up those vain prayers? See, there's a difference, and that's what I mean about intent. because we're going to read this parable. Verse 2, it says, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So this widow, and we're speaking from a man's perspective, this judge said, I'm going to give this widow what she wants because this widow would not give up. I'm going to give this widow what she wants because this widow won't give up. She just won't stop. She just won't quit. Hold that thought for a second. In the book of Genesis, chapter 32, starting at verse 24. And remember, the widow just wouldn't stop, just wouldn't quit, just kept coming, and got exactly what she wanted. Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So you have Jacob wrestling with a man. This man touches his thigh. We know that that man was an angelic being from the story. So he touches his thigh. Now, Jacob's thigh is knocked out of joint, and he's still wrestling with this angel till the breaking of the day. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. The angel said that. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's the only way this match going to end. I know I can't beat you. You already knocked my hip out the socket. But guess what? I'm holding on. I'm not giving up. And that's how we're supposed to be with our prayers. Father, blah, 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 blah. Amen. Father, thank you for hearing my prayer. Haven't given up faith, blah, 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 blah. Amen. Whatever it is that you're asking the Most High for. Don't stop. Okay? Don't stop. Because just as that widow didn't stop, and that was that being a parable. She didn't stop. She got what she wanted from an unjust judge, from a man who do not regard the Most High. Let's go back to what he said, back to Luke chapter 18, verse 5. It reads, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me. Verse 6. And the master said, hear what the unjust judge saith? And shall not Elohim avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them It's coming. You crying day and night out to the Most High. He's going to avenge you. He hears your supplication. He knows the things that you desire, good and bad, from afar off. He knows the things that you need from afar off. And you cry out to him day and night. But do you hear what you're his elect. The fact that you can have a communication, the fact that you can commune with the Most High, you're special. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you, Mashiach said. You got elected. Verse 8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, we see that the lines of communication need to stay open between us and the Father. Greatest commandment. Express that love between one another. Right? In the book of James, chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 13. And it reads, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. You got some stuff going on with you? Pray. Open up your mouth to the Most High. You want it to, if you want it to stop. Okay? Some people like affliction. Remind me of that old song by the Arrhythmics, Sweet Dreams. Part of the verse is, some people like to be abused. Some people want to use you. Some people like to be used. Some people want to abuse you. Some people like to be abused. So if you like the affliction, don't say nothing. But if you want it to stop, pray. Open up your mouth to your Father and ask him to stop it. So is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. So this goes back to that question I said. Is it okay? You know, because we're supposed to pray in the closet. In our own closets. So, is any sick among you? That means you go to the elders. That means all of y'all are together. And you're praying together. In accord. In unity. Right? Anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. If you're sick. Don't feel good? Hey, that's where you belong. Right? Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So there's a type of prayer. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. So you have to be faithful. Now when you look at all the times that people were sick within the word, your faith healed you. Now, it wasn't me. Your faith healed you. That's what the Messiah said. even with the the example that we just had, the man with the palsy, wasn't even his faith, it was the faith of the people that was with him. Messiah saw their faith and healed that man. So what does that tell you about faith? And what does that tell you how it intertwines? How it intertwines with prayer. All right? Well, verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and Yahweh shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow. Next week. We're going to be focusing on this part of it. All right? But also, because we're talking about our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Confess your faults to the Heavenly Father. One thing that He cannot do and He cannot use is a liar. Why isn't your prayer being answered? You're not being honest with the Most High. Truly. That is a big hindrance. And when I say that, I mean this. Don't act like everything is good with the Most High when everything ain't. You go to Him respectfully but angry. The words say, be angry but sin not. You can be angry with Yahweh. Well, how do we know that? There was a prophet named Jeremiah who was angry at Yahweh. There was a prophet named Jonah who was angry at Yahweh. So you can be angry at Yahweh. Now, I'm going to give you fair warning. You're going to look like a fool in the end. But it's necessary for you to be angry at Yahweh if you want these things, if you want results. If you want results, you cannot hide your feelings. You cannot come to the Most High, Father, and you're really angry, but you're giving fake piety. He doesn't want anything fake. Now, I know everybody going to say, prove it by the word. Well, we're going to. All right? But let's get finished this part first. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, back to what I was saying, of the example. Father, heal me. Now, how effective is that? All right? Now, in order, and this goes back to, because remember, we're talking about communication. All right? If you have, and in this case, we're going to use this, a sickness, or you need to be healed, and you have a pain in your back, and you say, Father, heal me, would it be more effective to say, Father, heal my back from its pain? We have to be specific with the Most High. How do you know that? Well, when you go to a doctor asks you a series of questions to pinpoint exactly what's going on with you. How effective would a doctor be if you go into his office and say, "Sir, I'm in pain. I need you to cure my pain." "Okay, what hurts?" "I don't know. I'm just in pain." "Well, where does it hurt?" "I don't know. I just want you to cure my pain." "Is it your leg? Is it your arm?" "I don't know. I'm just in pain." How effective are you communicating? All right? So, to be an effective communicator, you have to be, I don't really want to say descriptive, but for lack of a better term, descriptive. You know? We have to communicate with the Most High better. All right? Verse 16 again. "Confess your faults one to another. One to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Verse 17, here's your example. Elias, who is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the rain, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Alright? So there's your example. Elia was a man, and he prayed specifically that it rain for not 3 years, for rain, that there be no rain for 3.5 years. And guess what? Abba heard it and honored the word of that man. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Not a drop. All right? Now, back to what I was talking about you being honest with the Most High. He cannot use fakeness in any type of way. One of the disciples that Yahushua chose, matter of fact, let me look that up before we get into it. I believe it was Nathaniel. In John chapter 1, verse 47, I'm just going to read this. Yahushua saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." Whoa! "An Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." If you look up this word guile in the Greek section of your lexicon, number 1388, this word is dolos, and it means to decoy, a trick that is wily, right? Now, it comes from another word, number 1185 in your Greek section. The word is deleazo, and it means to entrap. That is delude. All right? So, this was an Israelite who was a man's, he was a man in every way, shape, and form. Now, when I say that, I mean this. This brother wasn't phony. He wasn't one of them phony dudes. Alright? What you see is what you got. Right? In this world, being a man, you're taught different things. See, a man in this world is taught he can't cry. So you can't be soft. Right? As far as you gotta suck it up. Can't show no hurt. But men hurt. We can't be comforted. We can't show no pain. You know? I remember playing football. Had a really bad sprain. Everybody said, walk it off, walk it off. Man, just walk it off. You can barely walk. Walk it off, walk it off, walk it off. Man, you hurting. Tend to that wound is what you need to do. But as a man, walk it off, walk it off. You're a man, you can't show no hurt. See, but this was a real man. There was no decoy about him. When he was angry, he was angry. When he was happy, he was happy. If he had an issue with you, he had an issue with you. But he was a man. And he saw these things, you know? There was no guile about him, no decoy. What you see is what you got, you know? Well, that's what the Most High wants from us. See, because we put on... The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. It's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Don't you know we try to lie to God? The words say he knows our thoughts from afar off. So he knows when we giving him them crocodile tears. He knows when we putting on that fake piety. Oh, Father, I just heard it. But you're really upset. He knows these things. And he can't use that. He can't use phoniness. And that's something that he had to make me realize. Because I was angry at the Most High. And in my anger, I called him unfair. And when I did that, I heard this little voice say, that's what I wanted to hear. And then he proceeded to show me just how wrong I was about him being unfair. So I apologized to my father because I was wrong. I spoke out of turn. See, but what if I would have held on to those feelings? What if I would have kept on going on with it? Faking the funk, so to speak. Could I have been healed from that? See, because when he gives you an answer, he does things for you. That's what he's doing. He's healing you of these thoughts, these spirits that's on you, whether we want to believe it or not. That's what he's doing. So now we're going to look in the book of Job, and we're going to look at some excerpts of the book of Job. Now, for those of y'all who didn't read it, I suggest that you do. All right? But I'm going to give you a brief overview of the book. Job was a... just get straight to the point. Job was a self-righteous dude who the Most High had to break down and make understand how self-righteous he was. That's the point of it. See, but he had to bring Job to a point where he realized that he was self-righteous by all the things that were going on in Job's life. Alright? I know a lot of times when you hear people commenting on Job, it's, oh, well, he died, and I mean, his kids died, and he lost all this, but he got back double because he was this, and he was faithful, and he was that. No. Mm-mm. Job went through some crap, okay? Job had an argument with the Most High. And it was not after till Job opened his mouth and kept on saying, I'm innocent, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, that the Most High responded. Now let's look at this. We just look at Job chapter 9, verse 28. And it reads, now this is Job talking. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou will not hold me innocent. Alright, now this is him, verse 29. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? So this is Job still holding on to his innocency. Alright, holding on to all his own. I didn't do nothing. It's not me. It's the Most High. He did it. It's all his fault. And we're going to cut to the chase. Book of Job, chapter 32, verse 1. Now, he had three friends that was talking to him at that time, up until this chapter. All right? And they were kicking him while he was down. All right? Now, Job, chapter 32, verse 1 reads, so these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. So now, because Job was righteous in his own eyes, that's what Yahweh was looking for. That's what Yahweh needed Job to see. All right? Job got to a point, and I don't have the exact verse, and I don't know the way it's worded, so I can't look it up at the moment. But it's basically talking about how he had dogs worth more than men, or something to that effect. This man was so worthless, he wouldn't let him handle his dogs. All right? But in the end, Job was self-righteous. He was righteous in his own eyes. Verse 32. Now watch what happens. Because we read the part where he was innocent. We're just going to read this next part. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barak El, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than Yahweh. Breakdown in communication. If Yahweh is the just one, and you are just, rather than Elohim, I'm sorry. But we are talking about Yahweh. But, all right. If Yahweh is the just one, who are you to call him unfair? You understand what I'm saying? But because sometimes we are righteous in our own eyes, we need a little reminder, you know. Verse 3. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. We're going to talk about that another time. Probably next week. Next chapter of Job chapter 33. Listen to what Elihu says. Now he says some other stuff. In chapter 32, he's talking. But chapter 33, listen to what he says. Verse 1. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now. Excuse me. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue have spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. In other words, I'm about to tell you what it is, cut and dry. There will be no breakdown in the lines of communication between me and you. My lips shall utter knowledge clearly, and I'm going to use words that are upright in my heart. All right. Now, this is a communication between him and Elihu. Right? Verse 4. See, that's how the communication between me and everybody in the Most High is supposed to be. All right? Why is he doing this? Verse 4. The spirit of El hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So, because he's given us life, and because he made us, shouldn't we be able, and we are made in his image and his likeness, or being made in his image and his likeness. What hinders us from communicating effectively with the Most High? Except for our own lusts, our own desires, walking in the flesh, being manipulated by our enemy. All right? Sometimes our words are not upright. Sometimes our lips do not utter knowledge. And we're going to hear from Yahweh, and he's going to speak on that. Alright? Verse 4. The spirit of El hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in El's steed. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word saying. Now this is the stuff that he's just given a little something, little stuff that he said. Surely thou hast spoken in my ear, and I have heard the voice of thy word saying. Verse 9. I am clean without transgression. Now this is him communicating these things. Job is this. I am innocent, neither is there any iniquity in me. This is Job's thinking. How many times have we thought we were innocent and tried to communicate that to the Most High? Don't you know he wants to hear that? Well, why does he want to hear that? So he can show you that you're not. He can show you where you're lacking, where your thinking is askew, is off. any man who thinks this, I don't care how long they've been walking with the Most High, if you think you are without transgression, if you think there's no iniquity in you, you're wrong. Period. Verse 9 again. I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Verse 10. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. God got something against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He hates me. The Most High just hates me. He's picking on me. You're not right, Father, for picking on me. It's unfair that you pick on me. It's unfair that I'm in this condition. It's unfair that I'm broke. It's unfair I can't find a job. It's unfair that I'm lonely. It's unfair that my wife left me. It's unfair my life is not right. It's unfair. That's all I want to do is serve you. There's the fake piety. That's all I want to do is serve you. And it's not right that I'm going through all this crap. And you're just looking for occasions to punish me. Negro, please. What about your hand in all this? What about all the foolishness that you wrought in all of this? Did you forget all that? He putteth my feet, verse 11, he putteth my feet in stocks. He marketh all my paths. I don't care which way I go. I just can't get right with you, Father. No matter what I try to do, I'm trying. I really am. Because that's all I want to do is serve you. All I want to do is obey your word. Negro, please. No, you don't want to obey his word. And it don't matter what anybody say. No, we don't want to obey his word. Obeying his word goes against our very nature. Obeying his word goes against our humanity. So, no, we don't. We are born enemies of the Most High, period. And it takes us to have a transformation. A transformation is right, but a reverting of our mind. Our mind has to go back to the original state that it was in. When Yahweh was our delight and not this world. This world is our delight now. So yeah, we struggle. And yeah, we go through the crap that we go through. But we're going to read something that David wrote, which is just a great reminder. And that's what I find I need sometimes, reminders, just like that song. Don't forget to pray. Don't be too cool to pray. I mean, sure enough, get down and talk to the Father. Have those heart-to-hearts with him. Wrestle with him. And bear your burdens. Let him bear your burdens. Give them to him. So we see that goes on. And Elihu speaks to him. Tells him all the stuff that he says. So he gets counseling from a man. Job chapter 38. verse 1. Then Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now the Most High is going to speak to you. Those lines are not going to be shut down when you bring charges against him. I know personally he's going to answer you. So he answers Job. See, but it's not till after he brings out the foolishness within him. All that time that was going on, you had the men, the three men, prodding him. Job maintaining his innocence. And then the young man comes and puts it straight out there. Man, you self-righteous. I heard everything you said. You justifying yourself instead of the Most High. And these dudes over here ain't no better. Because they can't bring nothing up against you, but yet they condemning you? What kind of buddies are they? What kind of friends are they? And then Yahweh answered. Job chapter 38 verse 1. Then Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Do you hear what he said? You're talking stupid, boy. You're darkening your counsel with these words that you speak, but they have no knowledge. Elihu just said before that, in verse 3, Job chapter 33, verse 3, my word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. I'm going to communicate effectively with you. But Yahweh says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You're not getting it because you're not speaking correctly. What is words, uttering words without knowledge? Miscommunication. I don't understand you. This is not making any sense, words without knowledge. As my brother said, I just don't get it. And you're darkening the counsel. Verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. That's what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to happen to you when you speak out of turn to the Most High. So you want to call me unfair, Deuel? What about your part in this matter? Gird up your loins, boy, like a man. Because now I'm asking questions. Did I cause you to do any of the things that you did? Was it me? Did I cause you to act a fool, rant, and rave? Was that me? Did I cause you to lose your anger? Lose control of your temper. Lose control of yourself. Was that me? So how do you blame me? You're speaking words without knowledge, Daywell. So what choice do you have in the matter? Father, you're right. Forgive me. And I know he do. Last passage. Psalms. Chapter 107. We're going to read the whole thing. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh. For he is good. For his mercy endure forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and armed, because they rebelled against the words of El, and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that man would praise Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would praise Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the work of Yahweh and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise Yahweh for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turned rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turned the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causes them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of Yahweh. So family, you want the loving kindness of Yahweh? Keep the lines of communication open. How else, when we cry out to Yahweh, will he deliver us? If the communication is down, if the lines are down. Right? So love Yahweh with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. First and foremost, greatest commandment. Next week, we'll be talking about that second one. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, love your neighbor as yourself. So, this is Brother Dale Well. Bidding you shalom.